Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship today. During the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so that we are able to greet those around us by name. And this morning, we welcome back Sister Barbara Moore, Sister of Mercy, to be our guest preacher. And next week, we'll have Reverend Laurie Tiberi, who is a Presbyterian minister, and she is the Protestant chaplain at the University of Rochester. And Laurie has been with us a few times in the past. And also this morning, we welcome Randall Shaw. Randall, where are you? Randall is a missionary in Guatemala, and GPC supports his mission. So we welcome Randall. They're here visiting us this morning, so let's give him a warm welcome. So, and now let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Please stand as able for the call to worship. Seeking unity, we come to the scriptures. Open our hearts to hear and live in your word. Acknowledging our discord, we come to the scriptures. Open our hearts to hear and live in your word. Realigning our lives with God, we come to the scriptures. Open our hearts to hear your word and worship.
Thank you. Dear brothers and sisters, will you join me in the prayer of confession? God of healing mercies, we come to you this day as imperfect people. We know that you desire for us hope, happiness, and love. Yet we have found so many ways in which to block your gifts, or to grab hold of them as if we were entitled to them. We have given the pathway to peace in the witness of Jesus. Passion and service. Service has been mostly for ourselves, for our own gratification. We have failed to be your church, your witnesses on earth. We have neglected the needs of others in our rush. Forgive us, O merciful God. Heal our wounded spirits. Turn us again to you, that we may again learn of your love and mercy. Help us to become partners in peace and hope for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn again to the Lord, who always loves you. And faithfulness. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Grab a paper, start coloring whatever you want. Okay? You can have a big paper or a little paper. So, has anyone ever felt like they can't do or say anything right? Like everything you do or say makes someone else upset or gets them in trouble? I saw you nod a little bit there, Graham. Yeah. In the gospel reading later today, we're going to hear what seems like a pretty upset Jesus. He even says that he's under stress. There are some clues in the story about what is causing Jesus to be upset, but we really can't be sure exactly what it was because we weren't there, and more important, it wasn't happening to us. And even being there or being the person who is upset doesn't always make it easier to understand. I don't know about you guys, but there have been plenty of times in my life when I've been stressed out and upset and said some pretty strange or mean things, and I really had no idea what was making me so upset. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been upset? Yeah, I think we all have. And sometimes it's not just one thing that is upsetting me, it's a bunch of things. I think that might be what's going on with Jesus, too. You know, he's even told people around him what he's feeling, and they still don't get it, so it's just not easy. And to be clear, being upset is okay, and being stressed out sometimes is normal too. Jesus seems to be able to blow off a little steam and still work to guide people with a good story, but what do we do? What do we do when we're stressed out? I brought my coloring supplies with me today for you to enjoy, because sometimes I like to color when I get stressed out. You know, I start drawing and forget about everything else. What do you guys like to do when you're stressed out? What do you like to do?
Just stop thinking about it, put your mind on something else.
Does anyone like to make music or listen to music? Yeah. Does anyone else here like to draw? Yeah, Faith, you look like you like to draw. So there's a lot of things we can do when we're stressed out. And know that whatever is going on, no matter how bad it seems, Jesus is with you. And Jesus understands what it's like to feel like everything is going wrong. Jesus loves you and understands you. All right, you guys can keep coloring, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer to end. Loving and understanding God, thank you for all the relationships that we have. Help us to love the people around us and to understand that when things go wrong, it's okay, and that you are still there with us. Amen. You guys can pick a color, a couple markers if you want, and bring them with you back to your seat. You can keep your papers.
Thank you, Jen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah. I have to give you a little context in this, or you won't understand it, because I know I didn't. At the time of this scripture, Zedekiah is king of Judah, and Jerusalem is under attack by the Babylonians. Jeremiah has prophesied that Jerusalem will be destroyed by Babylon, and Zedekiah will be killed. So Zedekiah has Jeremiah imprisoned in the royal palace. But Jeremiah continues prophesying, and several officials of the court hear what he's saying, and they're not happy with it. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. Everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war and famine or disease, but those who surrender to the Babylonians will live. Their reward will be life. They will live. The Lord also says the city of Jerusalem will certainly be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it. But these officials go to the king and say, "Sir, this man must die." That kind of talk will undermine the morale of the few fighting men we have left, as well as that of all the people. This man is a traitor. And King Zedekiah agreed. "All right," he said, "do as you like. I can't stop you." So the officials took Jeremiah from his cell, lowered him by ropes into an empty cistern in the prison yard that belonged to a member of the royal family. There was no water in the cistern, but there was a thick layer of mud at the bottom, and Jeremiah sank down into it. But Ebed-Melech, an important court official, heard that Jeremiah was in the cistern. At that time, King Zedekiah was holding court at the Benjamin Gate. So Ebed-Melech rushed from the palace to speak with him. "My lord, the king," he said, "these men have done a very evil thing in putting Jeremiah the prophet into the cistern. He will soon die of hunger, for almost all the bread in the city is gone." So the king told Ebed-Melech, "Take 30 of my men with you and pull Jeremiah out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room in the palace beneath the treasury, where he found some old rags and discarded clothing. He carried these to the cistern and lowered them to Jeremiah on a rope. Ebed-Melech called down to Jeremiah, "Put these rags under your armpits to protect you from the ropes." Then when Jeremiah was ready, they pulled him out. So Jeremiah was returned to the courtyard of the guard to the palace prison, where he remained. Thank you.
Our gospel reading is from the 12th chapter of Luke. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel scripture we just shared is sometimes called a difficult text, to say the least, because it speaks of family conflicts. And to be honest with you, when preachers look at the readings for the coming weekend, often they are just delighted. And just as often, we wish somebody else was preaching. And I have to say, today's gospel is such a reading. A few years ago, I taught a class at the Divinity School entitled Preaching Difficult Texts. And like the gospel you and I just heard, I would encourage the students, don't run away from it. But engage it, talk with it, dialogue with it, do your homework, ask questions of the reading. That is, try to find out the message by working at it. For just a couple of moments, I'd like to look at the first reading, which Jan shared with us, because it's difficult in its own right. The Babylonian victory over the Israelites was imminent. And Jeremiah, in this reading, suffers because he suggests that the people should save themselves and leave Jerusalem. His foes see this advice as negative and demoralizing to the troops. And so they pressure the weak king to get rid of him. And he agrees. And then Jeremiah is lowered by ropes into a muddy cistern, and death is inevitable. Imagine the burns and sores those ropes caused him as he was being lowered. Well, then the weak king reverses himself, and Jeremiah is saved. The text tells us that those saving him, and this is so ironic, went to the king's home and took old rags and cloths, and they were lowered down to Jeremiah as a barrier between the rope and his skin. He was elevated and lived. I think the powerful message in this first reading, that this was a small but kind gesture in the midst of someone's pain, a gesture to reduce his suffering. And you and I may not realize the impact of our very small gestures in the lives of the suffering of others. But it is the gospel that speaks of deep divisions and intimate ones at that. And that'll be my focus for the next few moments. Jesus said, "I have not come to bring peace, but fire." And households and intimate families will be divided. I have a good friend, a Roman Catholic priest, who was headed west recently to visit his family and to attend some reunions. And he shared that his brother was organizing two parties, one for the Democrats and one for the Republicans. And we laugh, but we know the reality of that statement in some families these days, don't we? Divisions surround us, and they're based on so many issues. Immigration, health care, tariffs, impeachment, guns, race, the environment, and our care of LGBTQ folks. And on, the divisions are there. Both Matthew and Luke contain this passage, which says it's significant. Luke's is a bit more detailed, but they're very much alike. Matthew adds, a person's foes will be of his own household. Many of us see and understand divided households, father against son, daughter against mother, and in-laws as well. And in a way, that statement of Jesus Christ might have taken on greater meaning in the first century when families lived so close to each other and were often extended families under the same roof. In addition, the reality of what Jesus was saying might have been playing out in families in the early church community. If you and I have a sense of history, we know that has played out in our own time, in our own families. The religion was a source of violence, as seen in the Reformation and in the Crusades. And you know, when you think about it, on some level, many of us were divided over the break with England, and certainly divided over slavery and the Civil War. Households were divided and grudges remained when children married outside their family's accepted religion. We understand what Jesus was saying. And when you think about it, families must have been divided over his message and action. And you know, that had to be painful. Because some Jewish families were divided when some member decided to follow him. Others were divided when they saw that the Gentiles were being accepted into their community. It could not have been an easy time. And yes, people of goodwill were divided. But my dear brothers and sisters, divisions are not always disastrous. What do I mean? Divisions can have positive as well as negative aspects, even among those who are intimate. I heard a book review this past week by Michael Patrick Lynch, and it's entitled The Know-It-All Society. And he explores in his book the ways in which we have slipped into divisions and the impact of those actions. It seems that divisions are almost insurmountable. And one suggestion the author offers is the reality that not one of us knows everything. Now, the negative aspects of divisions happen, I believe, when we accept opinions based on lies. Divisions happen when we use diminishment of others to make our point. When we refuse to listen to the honest views of others. And when we allow our differences to lead to exclusion. I can almost hear a young Jewish male trying to describe to his parents what drew him to Jesus. Think about it. Not many years ago, you could almost hear a young daughter trying to convince her parents about the goodness of the one she had chosen to marry, one who was rooted in another faith tradition. But in addition, these days, you and I are experiencing words and actions of violence used against those with whom we disagree. But the positive aspects of divisions happen when we really listen to one another. When we explain why and how we have reached the decisions we have reached. When we can present facts that support our views, when we realize that we can grow if we remain open. And if the opinions of the other do not change, we can love and respect that person while we disagree and remain open to them as God's child. Jesus places himself at the center of the gospel this morning. I have come to set fire on the earth, and there is a baptism with which I must be baptized. Might he be referring to the passion he feels about the message he has been charged to share? Of course, because of the nature of his message, that is love and compassion and justice, it will divide us. So I have one easy suggestion for all of us. May I suggest that we allow the message and desires of Jesus Christ to take center stage? And I believe when they do, the divisions we experience may be reduced or shift. And what is that message? We need only to open our Bible to Matthew 25, and there we are presented with a list of folks who are at the center of Jesus' interest. So much so that he says, "What you do to the least of one of these, you do to me." And interestingly, if you sit with that list of folks, you will discover that even to this day, they are the center of many of our struggles and conflicts. Sadly, those folks prevent a difficult text for many of us today. Amen. Just please raise your hand if you want to share anything.
Hi, Kathy Coons. Ask prayers for Ed tomorrow. He's having back surgery, and special prayers for the surgeon that his hand is very steady.
Irene Ward, I would like prayers for my friend Patty, who has Alzheimer's. And it's getting very serious, and I want prayers for her family, too. Thank you.
Christy Stewart, I just wanted to give you an update on the 15-year-old teen who was lost in Malaysia. Her body has been found, and she had been assaulted, but the Malaysian government is denying that. So it's very difficult for the family now to get through not only the pain of the loss of their daughter, but the rigors of dealing with governments who like to hide the truth.
Jan Buettner, I'd like to ask prayers for a good friend of mine, Rusty Smith, who this week was diagnosed with liver cancer and pancreatic cancer.
Oh, sorry. Good morning. Kay Harder. I just got back yesterday from a funeral for my aunt who lived in New Hampshire. And prayers for my cousin and her family as they follow the body back to Oklahoma for burial. Oklahoma is the land of her heart, and please be with my family there as well. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Randall. It's a pleasure to be back. I live in Guatemala with my wife. I'm here with my daughter, Ida, today. We've been supported by your church for many years, going back to the days of Bob Kaiser. Those of you who can remember, we're back in the mid-90s, and we're very grateful for the support the church has given to us. We're having wonderful success with our education project. Your support is bringing a lot of possibility and hope to Mayan indigenous youth that otherwise would be having a very hard time. So I want to thank you all once again, and God bless.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Just prayers for one of my brother's best friends, Rico, who lives in New York City. I spoke with him this week, and he shares the birth month of my brother, and let me know that in October of last year, he had had a stroke. He is recovering, but again, just not something he thought at 55 he'd be going through, so prayers for him.
I think I've got the last one. Bruce Taylor, I'd like to ask for prayers for our family as we travel to North Carolina this week to celebrate the life of Cheryl's Aunt Sue, who passed away this past Friday. She has.
All over the world today, Christians of every race and gender and culture are praying the Lord's Prayer. So let us say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Okay. Well, now to the morning offering. Dear Creator, Lord, we bring back to you just a small portion of all the many blessings you give to us. We ask that you bless these, that they may be used to further your kingdom here and in our own community and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Again, thank you for your lovely hospitality. John, thank you. Our two wonderful vocalists, Dana and Evan, and Chris, who accompanied them, and Jan, my partner in crime here. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I hope that if there are any divisions in your family or among your friends, you'll read Matthew 25 and see what Jesus has to say. May God, our loving Creator, and Jesus, our brother, and the Holy Spirit, the source of the energy and love in our lives, be with you and those you love until we meet again. Amen.